Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger. In the heartland, in the bunker. Right here in north central Indiana, transmitting to the world and all the ships at sea. And all the satellites up in the sky, baby. Yeah, we got the wolf calls going. Have you heard the wolf call in your community? If you have a CB radio, we'll put the wolf call. Let's get them howling everywhere around the country on Channel 5. Yeah, right. Yeah. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And address your mail to occupant, box holder, Tom Metzger, insurgent, or whatever yanks your crank, baby. Yeah.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, right here in the bunker on a very, very cold day, about 5 degrees below zero this morning. Yeah, man. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and that's where you send your donations for all the things we do. That's true. I just shipped out a couple of envelopes with money to a couple of our friends, Matt Hale, this morning, yeah. And I guess that was it this morning. Sent a couple of letters out to poor old Craig Cobb up there in the Mercer County Jail, yeah. Well, I got to take myself to the woodshed again and eat crow, man. One of our associates told me that I was getting giving too much help to this Dutton character up there that was the sidekick of Craig Cobb. Well, that's been one of my Achilles heels for a long time. I try to pick up the wounded when I can and do what I can for them. And many times it comes back to bite me in the ass. And it looks like it's biting me in the ass again. Because this Dutton character has agreed to some dumbass attorney, or maybe he's a smart-ass attorney, to plead out on the charges, felony charges, against him up in Mercer County, up there in North Dakota. You know, before, well, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. Anyhow, these guys, you can't seem to talk the law to them because they don't listen to you. They listen to some half-assed attorney that don't want to plead the case before a jury. So anyhow, now he's going to come out and testify to everything the rotten DA wants him to say against Craig Cobb, and his girlfriend will do the same thing. And then everybody in town will get on the stand. And there's going to be nobody there speaking on behalf of Craig Cobb, so I told him I recommend him take a decision from the judge and forget the jury. Now, at this point, I think it's out of the question that he should take a jury trial because these clowns are going to say whatever it takes or whatever the DA tells them to say, and poor old Craig's going to get it. Bend over, Craig. But perhaps the only way out is to take a decision from the court. From the judge, because judges don't like to be overturned later on. That's bad on their record. And so even though they may hate your guts, many times they'll afford you a just conclusion or hearing or whatever, simply because they don't want to have their decisions overturned later on, especially if they want to go up in the ranks of judges. That's my opinion. And so now I'm back from the woodshed. To hell with it. We'll go on with this thing. I see there's a major, major smear is running its gamut around the internet against Dr. William Pierce and other people. And I'm not even going to comment on it. I'm sick and tired of carrying water for other people. I got enough to carry for myself. And the people, the lone wolves who know how to operate, know how to keep their mouth shut, and know how to, what to do when they get caught up in a legal situation. You don't plead out. First of all, you don't talk. and then you don't plead out, and then you say, if you got the case, make it stick, buddy. If not, shut up. There isn't one guy in 100 that'll play hardball with the legal system. Maybe one in 1,000. They're scared shitless of the legal system. Now, there's reasons to be scared of the legal system, because most people know by now it's unjust. There's very little justice goes on in the courtroom. It's an adversary deal. It's not a search for justice. It's two attorneys battling each other, adversaries, no matter what they have to do to get their client off. And that's the way it works. For decades, I've seen these guys go into court armed with all this constitutional crap. And I got my rights and all that stuff. And I'm always trying to remind them, the court is not, that's not the way the court operates. It's an adversary situation. They don't give a shit how much you wave the Constitution in front of them. They could care less, any more than the cops care less when you say, I'm innocent, officer. I didn't do a damn thing. I watched a little film last night that, boy, I'll tell you, it's something else. It's how a complete stranger can get on the phone and talk people into the craziest ass legal situations and felony situations and not even appear before them. Do it over the phone, pretending to be someone in power with authority. Now, this film is based on true events, where as much as 75 or 80 people, maybe more, were instructed over the phone by an alleged cop to do certain things, and how far and how stupid the public is. I mean, you think they're stupid? You have no idea how stupid they are until you watch a film like this, and then you'll know that almost all of them are stupid. The film's name is Compliance. Inspired by true events. How far would you go? I'm telling you. I had to cut the middle of the film out because I couldn't take it anymore. It was just too much. You want to reach into the television screen and pull these people out and bitch slap them all over the room. Now, these were white people. These were all white people in this film. I'm telling you. What a sad state of affairs our white race has become. You can pick this up at your local video rental store. That's where I got this one. But I almost wish I hadn't watched it. Now, the other film I'm going to recommend to you is a film called Detachment. And I'm sure it's available this one's available, was in the video store. And this is another, really a heart-wrenching film about teachers in the inner city that are trying desperately to educate kids. And the absolute insanity of it all. You know it goes on, but it's absolutely insane. And what these teachers, and many of them, are trying to do a good job, and they can't get anything done, and they're even on the brink of suicide. I wonder how many teachers actually do commit suicide or have mental breakdowns. Well, this movie Detachment, in fact, it's made produced by Tony Kaye, remember, that did the American History X, a totally different kind of film, but I'd recommend this film to anyone. Now, I always tell you, I'm a film buff, and some people say, well, I wouldn't watch these movies or anything because they're negative. Well, you need to know how negative it can be, man. You need it to fire you up and piss you off and pick you up and turn you around and set you down of how bad it is, the situation is for our race, and how these schools are graduating people who not only are totally screwed up, But even the teachers become screwed up to the point that they're suicidal. So anyhow, detachment. And the other one was what? Compliance. After watching those two, I'll tell you, I really was ready to have a drink. And of course, that piled on top of this dumbass up there in Mercer County going to plead guilty. And I'm telling you, I've been trying to educate and help people for decades, and almost none of them listen. They say, yeah, but they don't listen. I mean, look at Dennis Mahan. I knew him for, 25 years? Not as a close confidant as far as our operations were concerned, because I couldn't trust his big mouth. But I preached to him like a Dutch uncle for decades. You got to stay clean if you're going to last in this thing. You got to stay clean to last. If you decide to go crazy or, you know, that's your business. But all of the instruction, all the urging, all the coaxing didn't mean a damn thing. He went right out and got himself into a big jam, and now he's sitting down there in federal prison. I'll tell you, it's very disheartening. The only bright side is that I know I'm reaching a lot of people out there. A lot of people. And they're not all stupid, and they're not all playing the system game, and they know exactly what's going on. And if I didn't believe that, if I didn't have some idea that's going on, I think I'd just roll up in a big ball and die, as Frank Sinatra says in his great song. Now, yesterday, the first half of the show, I had some really good stuff in there, and I lost it. It was my problem, my decision, my stupidity. I left my speech to print program on live when I'm doing a show on a MP3 recorder. And I found you can't do that. And I learned it once before, but I forgot again and left it on, and ended up losing some very good things that I'll never be able to remember what I said. So we'll just have to go on. In fact, I set up another computer now in the bunker that's just going to be dedicated to letters and email letters mainly, and also speech to print type situation, so I don't get that screw up again. I don't know whether my rant about the British situation was on the front part or the last part yesterday, but I'll tell you, I was listening to a recording of an old-time activist, I guess, or at least an activist from Britain yesterday, and it's the same old stuff. They never learn. They had the National Front, and they did pretty good. They had a lot of marches. They had all this stuff going. But they never got more than 10% of the vote. I don't think they even got that. So then the BNP comes along, British National Party, and plays the same game, working people's ass off, trying to get people elected to office. Well, it don't work. It's a hell of a waste of time, even under the parliamentary system. And so now Nick Griffin evidently has gone off the reservation, even endorsing Jews or something. And also got an Indian, a dark Indian woman now evidently helping to lead the party and so forth. So the BNP, that's gone. And now this individual's talking, well, we'll bring it back to National Front. Of course, you got the English Defense League, too. I don't know what... All I know about that is they go out and have a little demonstration and roll in the gutter with the Liverpool anti-fascists and go home. So anyhow, But here is this person who's had all this experience and should be able to see that it's over as far as any kind of, if there ever was any kind of ability for working class white separatists to gain any kind of power. But at this date, it's impossible. So anybody's trying to convince you to go out and support candidates and all this kind of stuff, tell them to go fish. It's not going to happen. But anyhow, I listen to the guy go on and on and on and on. You know, sometimes you feel like banging a gun and blowing your brains out. No, I'm not suicidal. So if you find me with my brains blown out, it's not suicide. Believe me, I'm not a suicidal person. I'd like to help other people that, for some reason, to commit suicide. I mean, my enemies. I promote their suicide all the time. I'm sending my mental projectiles at them. And you go down to South Africa, it's the same thing. You got all these farmers, thousands of farmers being killed, white farmers. And they still don't get it. It's a hot war. It's a physical war. It's blood for blood. And if that's not it, there's nothing. Because the South African guys had all the chance in the world. They had military. They had A-bombs. They had everything. And they let it fall through the cracks. So, I don't know. I just don't know what to tell a lot of people because they just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over. And what is that? The sign of insanity. The sign of insanity. If you don't do something and you're waiting for the best time to do something, that's a different story. But if you're going out and following these crazy-ass conservative right-wing type racial people and all that stuff, you're just going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. And like I said a million times before, you can rail on and on and on and on about the Jews all you want, but it's our race. It's our problem. It's our responsibility. A parasite is a parasite. A parasite's going to do what a parasite does. But you don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. And millions of white Americans don't have to do it. But most of them are doing it. They're just going along to get along. You know, I listen to some of these black radio commentators. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the one that I listened to some of his stuff last night. And there's a lot of those guys have a lot of correct logic. Joe Madison. Well, he's obviously a pro-black man, which he should be. And he's not on our side. But he says a lot of stuff that I can't disagree with. Like early this morning, he said that black people got off the plantation and the white people go for the world and the black people got Jesus. The greatest idea in the world, almost, was to sell the black race Christianity. They were better off with whatever tribal beliefs they had in the first place, like the American Indian. Better off with his original understanding of nature and so forth, and a nature religion. That's one of the strangest things when I talk to a black person, say, well, why would you be a Christian? Number one, it's the religion of the slave master. Even though millions of white people are under almost the same slavery, mental slavery, blacks taking on Christianity is totally ridiculous. And taking on Islam is almost as crazy because Islam is another one of the religions out of the three, the Abrahamic religions. And Islamics teach race mixing as much or more than the Christians. sort of that attitude like a lot of whites used to have. Well, it's not perfect, but I'm a Catholic, you know, because it was a church, been here a long time, so I know they screw up, but I'm going to stay with them, you know. Same way with the blacks. But we have to remember that there's a hell of a lot of difference between racial segregation and racial separation. Segregation was the ability of the capitalist system to have its cake and eat it too. And also to give throw a bone to the white worker that, yeah, you can have a little racism, but we don't want you to get to the point where you totally separate. We want you to fight with the blacks in the workforce and so forth. We don't want you to yell for white separation. We want you to go along with segregation, which segregation never worked, never will work, as a total failure as far as anything that can lift the white race up. Only complete, absolute separation is worth fighting and dying for. That's all it's worth, you know. Well, let's see what all the fuss is about here. The latest dust-up in the U.S.-Israel relations is one that makes you wonder if Obama administration officials have a shred of self-awareness. This is from the Jerusalem Post. That the president is unhappy with the Israeli government because his consistent opposition to sanctions on Iran is not meeting with universal approval from the American Jewish groups. And why does this make him upset with Israel? Because he apparently believes that such dissent must be the product of foreign influence. Well, Obama's right. Once in a while, you got to say, Obama's right. I know all you Fox TV people, and you think we're going to follow. You think I'm going to follow through and say Obama never does anything right? No way. I wouldn't do that to anybody. And when he's right, I'm going to say he's right. Am I happy he's in there as president? No, I'm not happy. But the right wing grab onto anything anti-Obama. Anything. I get it all the time. People are sending me this stuff in the mail. Email. A U.S. official close to President Barack Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry said both men are disturbed over what is being perceived in their inner circle as Jewish activism in Congress, unquote, that they think is being encouraged by the Israeli government and Israeli lobby, Israel Radio reported Thursday. Well, it's true. If the shoe fits, wear the goddamn thing, you know? Let's see here. Where did I stop? I lose my place. The official has informed Israeli government figures that the president and the secretary of state are disappointed over the repeated attacks made against them by leading members of the Jewish community in the United States. Well, what did you expect? What the hell did you expect? President and Secretary of State would like American Jews, foreign handlers, and sponsors to please stop riling up the Jews, because those Jews then practice their voodoo on members of Congress. Well, they're given their walking papers and they walk. Now, while this is obviously a very stupid thing, now this is according to the Israeli kept press, for the President and Secretary of State to believe conspiracy theorists love the Walt Mearsheimer dark tales of Jewish influence, but rarely do serious or intelligent people fall for it. Well, color yourself non-intelligent or serious. It's even dumber to, you know, say out loud that the Jews are way out of their expertise and are pressuring congressmen coming up for the 2014 election. Of course they're going to say, you don't go along with what we want. Well, we're not going to give you money for the campaign. But that's not to say it's a slip of the tongue. These statements are usually calculated warnings. Nice special relationship you got here, huh? the phrase Jewish activism in Congress is especially clumsy because it's so obvious and appalling and insulting. But Tommy says, but true. I suppose we should be thankful the official managed not to use the word elders. Well, I don't, you know, in some ways, I don't think they have to put a lot of pressure on congressmen. They've got these congressmen and senators that, from past experience, so fearful of the Jews that many times they'll side with the Jews before the Jews even ask them. Let's see here. In one sense, it's ironic. American Jews vote overwhelming for Democrats, and this is the thanks they get. Well, the working class type Jews, and some of the rich Jews too. But I think a lot of the big boys in the Jewish community vote Republican, like this one out in Las Vegas who spent millions on Republican candidates. But in another sense, it's typical of the enforced groupthink of the American left. That's true. Overwhelmingly, it's not enough. Everyone needs to get in line, lest any unapproved thought escape someone's lips and influence others, unleashing the dreaded Jewish activism. You know, I don't have to change much in this article, and I could have written it myself. There are just a few places where, well, anyhow, when people are permitted to speak freely, who knows what the Congress will do? Better to not find out, according to the Obama administration. Well, those congressmen, every one of them, they'll say they love the Jews, but really they're afraid for the Jew, for the Jews, because the Jews can put them out of business. It's also extremely creepy behavior because it aims to chill legitimate political speech by warning Jews specifically that if they disagree with the Obama administration, they will be seen to be acting on orders from a foreign government, which they are. And it then transfers that the suspicion of dual loyalty to members of Congress whose constituents include the Jews of which the administration approves. Dual loyalty. I don't think they're truly loyal to anything except power and money. The sentiment as expressed to the press and attributed to Obama and Kerry appears to be a fusion of the two. Obama's distaste for dissent and Kerry's inability to communicate. Yeah, the Jews have figured that out. Anything they do that's anti-Israel, of course, then they're stupid and everything. The problem the White House is having is this. The president's deal with Iran was not a good deal. Well, according to you kikes. And that fact is becoming more and more obvious to everyone, even those not under the spell of Jewish voodoo. So left to their own devices, many in Congress and in the public are going to draw the correct conclusion the president is getting played, and the president does not like that prospect. Well, you got to give Obama a little bit of break on this. Not hardly anybody, none of the Republicans are supporting peace with Iran that I know of. Maybe the Ron Pauls and people like that, maybe. But all the rest are all for bomb Iran, you know. And why? Iran's living according to the UN rules on atomic energy, that every country, even though they are supposed to limit their amount of nuclear weapons, is free to enrich some material. And that's what it reads in the treaty. But yet the United States, I mean the military-industrial complex, and the Jew thinkers are saying that they can't do that. Well, Iran is saying, yes, we can do that. So, anyhow, they all want to have a war with Iran. Yeah. And the Republicans are the warmongers more than the Democrats. I mean, the Democrats like, say, Me Too a lot, But in reality, if it wasn't for the overwhelming pushing by the Republicans for the military-industrial complex and war, I'm sure the Democrats wouldn't be going along with it so much. You never hear people talking about this Republican war party. They used to say the property party. Well, yeah. But they don't say war party. But yet, millions of Americans, Christian Zionists and Christians, period, that say they believe in the baby Jesus and his peaceful approach to things, are always on the front lines of supporting building more arms, sending more troops all over the world, occupying countries, bombing them if they don't give in. And the people on the street, the Christians, they don't rise up against this at all. I mean, talk about a hypocritical situation. That's about as hypocritical as you can get. Well, I'll leave the Jew paper for now, unless I find something else around here to yell about. In 2011, the acclaimed fashion designer John Galliano lost his job at the Christian Dior. The reason was he stepped on the Jewish toes, as Daniel Jonah Goldhagen explains in his latest book, The Devil That Never Dies, was repeated outbursts of anti-Semitism, which is anti-Jewism. I think people should force these kikes to call it what it is, anti-Jewism. Galliano flew into rages once before a group of Italian women who, quote, he must have imagined were Jewish, unquote. Quote, I love Hitler, he yelled. Quote, people like you would be dead. Your mothers and your forefathers would all be fucking gassed and dead, unquote. On another occasion, the gallery director, Geraldine Block, said Galliano had grabbed her hair and shouted, dirty Jew face, you should be dead, unquote. He told her, quote, shut your mouth, dirty bitch. I can't stand your dirty whore advice, unquote. Block said Galliano had made 30 anti-Jewish remarks in 45 minutes. Which is really free speech, but there isn't free speech. You know that. Not free speech to go after the Jews, verbally. Yeah. And now they've even got the hate crimes to cover them, like they're a race, of which they're not. I imagine what this guy felt. This Galliano is such total frustration, being in the clothing business and the designer business, being totally surrounded by kikes. They drive you crazy. I knew guys that had worked in New York in the garment industry. And they told me about how it was working with all these Jews. He said, the fellow I'm talking about, the only way he could get along with them is scream at them just as loud as they scream at you. They love it. They don't respect a calm discussion, most of them. They like warfare, so give it to them. The only problem is, usually they're in a position to complain, either fire you directly or go to the government to get you fired or go to the school board to get you fired or go to the church to get you kicked out. And who does the kicking out? Most of the time it's non-Jews or white Aryans that worship the Jew. Yep. You know, I believe it's in their Jewish religion that they can't say the word of for God. They're prohibited to say that. Well, don't you understand? They've just transferred that over to you, that it's against the law, even though it's not written down, for you to say anything anti-Jew. So the Jews have it that they can't say anything, use the word of God, other than that would be disrespect. but they've transferred it to the Goyim, that it is going against God to speak ill of the Jews. So the Jews create God in their own image, that's for sure. And then they cause everybody else to worship them through the back door by having them so afraid and scared they're afraid to say Jew. I dare you guys, one of you, go into a restaurant some night when it's full and raise your voice and state a statement, even one sentence, and then raise your voice when you say Jew. And watch the place come to silence. I mean, most of the people are going to pretend they didn't hear. Some might even flee out the door. But try it. I think you can get away more with saying Negro in a restaurant than saying Jew. And other than a aren't the Jews wonderful type thing. If you do it that way, they'll love you. But if you do it in a negative manner, the Jews, watch and see what happens. And you tell me, yeah, they're afraid to, they don't want you to speak the God of the God, Jew, the God, Jew. The Jews are the God. And don't talk against them, because they're God. They created God, and they're God. You know, I get hundreds of news articles every day about race and anti-Semitism and all that stuff. But I just come up with a page here on KKK and how the media absolutely will never let the KKK die. You know that? They're not going to let the KKK die. I mean, even if it was in the grave, they'd dig it up and they reanimate it. They use Jew voodoo to get the KKK going again. Here's one. KKK literature placed on Washington Township driveways. Can you believe that? That would get any print at all? Somebody throws some Klan literature on some driveway and it becomes international news. They're desperate to keep the KKK alive. It's never going to die as long as the Jews and their fellow travelers and Jew thinkers are around. The next story was KKK literature reported by residents in Thurmont. It was not the best wake-up call, but neighbors got a visit from the KKK Sunday night. They're doing it late last night. They don't want to be caught doing it. You know, I used to do all that stuff back in the old days. We used to fill up pickup trucks full of papers and go out in the late night or early morning and toss them. I don't remember anything really much of positive came out of it at all. Didn't cause this great recruitment of new KKK members. I mean, we could put out 500 or 1,000 papers. Maybe you get one person might call in or write in. So that part of it is a waste of time, but not for the press, because they love it. You know, they love the KKK. Gives them something to talk about. Next story, racist propaganda sent to a Delaware man on Martin Luther King Day. So what? I mean, you see, that's Fox 28. That's a big story with Fox. What he found in his mail Monday was a black and white piece of paper with KKK messages surrounding an image of Martin Luther King Jr. So what? But that's going around the world. This is what they call news. Oh my God, the KKK sent a paper to somebody? Well, I'm telling you. Well, here's what the wonderful black conservatives are saying. Sylvia Thompson. Yeah, these are black conservatives in a Republican Party. They like these Uncle Toms. They love them. They make sure they get good jobs, get paid well. If they're going to write a book, no matter how lousy it is, they're going to print it. A black conservative. Because that's all the Republicans can do. They don't have the balls to fight for the white race at all. They don't care. They don't even ever say white. Find me a congressman or senator who says white or white people. You'll never hear it. And if you do, let me know. And it's got to be in a pejorative way, too, an insulting way. She says, Americans know of the Aryan Nations. Yes. Skinheads. Yes. Neo-Nazis. Yes. The KKK. Yes. And similar groups of white people who, for any number of reasons, harbor grave animosity towards other Americans. Well, I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm not an American. American is a geographical title, really. More specifically, these groups are known for their racial hatred of blacks. No, they're known for their cry to get away from blacks. We don't want to be around them for any reason. We don't have to make any excuse. What excuse do we need to make? We just don't want to be around you. We're not going to argue. Yesterday I was talking to some guy on the internet. I'm not going to argue about why. It's what we want. And we better get it as time goes on, or there's going to be hell to pay. Because we're not going to sit here and argue with you about why we're white separatists and why we don't love blacks or why we do love blacks. Personally, I think we have more real feelings for blacks than they give us credit for. We believe that in separation, blacks can do quite well. You know, the progressives and even the conservatives now are thinking that the blacks can't get any place. They can't do anything right. So we'll put a Jew over you and then you can maybe do something. It is a rapid hatefulness that lessens the bearer's humanity. Oh, in other words, if I want white racial separation, I'm not as much into humanity. Well, this humanity thing is another trick bag they use. Unfortunately, not only is hatefulness that lessens the bearer's humanity, unfortunately, not only is there a hesitancy to examine similar racial hatred in American blacks, but it is forbidden even to voice its existence. Yeah, black racism. They don't want to talk about it. But when they do, they say, oh, they have every excuse to be racist because we treated them so badly so long ago. You mean the capitalists treated them bad so long ago? The working class just wanted to stay away from them. I will voice that existence here because it needs to be voiced. The notion that a person cannot be racist if he is of a minority race and has seemingly no power is laughable. This is another trick bag they're using. This self-imposed muzzling, when it comes to speaking of racism in blacks, can be attributed partially to the mixed-race author Shelby Steele, dubbed white guilt. It is a self-inflicting punishment, which too many whites, in my view, allow to cloud their reasoning when it comes to race issues in America. And it is contributing to the destruction of the nation. Well, integration and the fact that you, Ms. Thompson, are a conservative and right in there encouraging the Republicans to do what they do, you're the one is causing problems in this country. And accusing blacks of being racist, in other words, we have more to gain by black racism than otherwise, because black racism tends to bring more people into the separation mode, the black separatist. That's why I get treated quite well by black separatists. And I haven't spoken before a black group for a long time, but once in a while, when I do, or when I wasn't blackballed from radio and TV and the movies, I was on black radio stations. And I always got more support off black people on black stations than I do with white people on so-called white stations. Well, anyhow, that's it from her. So there goes the Republican Party. It couldn't happen to a better bunch. So long, Whigs. So long, Whigs. It's been good not to know you. Bunch of lying, cheating sons of bitches. Anti-environment. Pro-big money. Pro-war. Pro-military weapons. Pro-occupation. Pro in Afghanistan, the poppy harvest. Pro-heroin. Against pot, but pro-heroin. Oh, man. It says, what do you suppose drives a vile practice of primarily young blacks attacking unsuspecting white citizens on the street to knock them out? Well, what do they get from black leaders? What do they get from Reverend Al Sharpton? Everything's white people. Any hatred, everything's always white people. The black people are all victims. They're all victims. Even when they're the perpetrator of crime, they're victims. If you're not wallowing in white guilt, or are you not a leftist black? You see there? They want to separate people left, right, left, right. You know the cause is racial hatred. Well, a lot of these young blacks realize that they're being conned. They're being led down a primrose path. They know it. And they know that you're just a Ms. Uncle Tom. You are a Ms. Uncle Tom. Young, barely educated blacks who participate in this behavior may not be fully aware of what drives them. Well, I think they want separation. I mean, if black youth are going out on the street beating the hell out of white people, it means they don't like white people. They want to be separate from white people. So why would you insist on keep promoting integration when even the black youth symbolically or psychologically or subconsciously don't want to be around whites, and they want to, but if whites are going to be stupid and just walk around and take the shit and not ever fight back, they're going to do it. Why not? You can go out there and beat the shit out of white people. They're not going to do anything. There's never any payback. Even if they go to jail, they only go for a while. They get out. They get probation. They get out. I mean, you know, why shouldn't black youth beat the hell out of every white person they run into? Because the white race doesn't care. They may call the cops if we're lucky. Or if a white girl's raped, then they'll, many times the girl or the parents will say, well, I really don't want to be mean to the guy because the black people have been discriminated against so much. I can understand why he raped me. What would drive Attorney General Eric Holder, the chief law enforcement of the land, to excuse new Black Panther Party thugs who threatened voters, an illegal act, at an election site in Philadelphia during 2008 elections? Well, why do they do it? Because they can. Nobody, no white guys pulled up and said, hey, we'll give you one chance to get out of our face, and if you don't, we're going to beat the holy shit out of you. And if you pull a gun, we'll kill you right on the spot. No, these whites, they whine and whine, whine to a black attorney general. Help us, please, if we get down on our goddamn knees and give you oral, will you please be nice to us? Will you please quit this? Because we're so anxious to get into the voting poll and vote for some dickhead that's not going to do anything for the working class of anybody, black, white, or anything. So I wish that the Black Panthers would put a crew in front of every polling place in the country and keep people out, because voting's a bunch of shit. In fact, it makes you look stupid, like this movie I'm recommending. They make you look stupid by going down and voting. So maybe the Black Panthers are doing us a favor. Then she says, I say unadulterated racism against white voters. Well, I have racism against white voters. I'm not going to go down and keep them from going inside because, you know, that's casting your pearls before swine. These people, they're going to call the cops and everything, call the attorney general, and they're going to put you on trial and put you away because you interfered with their right to be stupid and vote for these assholes that we vote for. I mean, who could possibly be more stupid than George Bush Jr.? And we put him in, what, twice they put him in? And he put us into the toilet on debt. He put us into the toilet on war, attacking countries that got nothing to do with anything. Iraq, killing the leader, assassinating him, hanging him. And further Holder's use of the power of his office to scuttle state voter ID laws that ensure a fair election process through reduced voter fraud. Well, that's bullshit. There's really not that much for voter fraud. The voter fraud is the insanity and the idiocy of white people who don't vote white and don't vote white working class. They may vote white rich, but they'll never vote white working class. I mean, when do you know anybody that's made it into high office that was a basic middle class or working class person? I don't. Not since I ran, I guess. Holder's latest racist ploy, which is a detrimental blow to efforts to educate all children. Well, that's something you're never going to do. That's because you believe in equality. Look, the word educate comes from the Latin edu, which means from the inside out. You've got to have that spark in you before it can come out and you can be a creative person. You can't open up their skulls and pour it in. It just won't work. Never has, never will. Anyhow, he says, not just blacks, promoting a searing comment from former black congressman Lieutenant Colonel Allen West. Now, here's one of their new token, one of the new boys that's become a Republican conservative. The Colonel's article is in response to a demand issued by Eric Holder that schools rethink zero tolerance disciplinary policies because they disproportionately punish minorities. Sure, teachers are just chomping at the bit to punish Negroes. I don't know any teacher that wouldn't want just to go to school and have a very peaceful, quiet day in school. But when you got people, Negroes, and swinging from the chandeliers and attacking people in the bathrooms and smoking pot in the bathrooms and all the other stuff they do to where teachers can't even teach. And he says, well, that's because we're discriminating against them. According to Colonel West, the violence on campus when he taught high school in Florida was perpetuated 8 out of 10 times by black students, male and female, and it had nothing to do with racial disparity in his assessment. It had everything to do with the lack of discipline and control. Well, you see, he can say that because he's black and he's approved now as a right-wing conservative. The other conservatives can't say that. But he's approved. And other than the more radical left and on the left wing that attack him, the rest of them are letting it slide because he's black. That's racism right there. So it's a, oh man. And this leftist and rightist thing kills me. It is a total waste of time dwelling on that shit. Now, of course, for quite some time, they wanted to impeach Obama. Well, number one, it ain't going to happen. Never will happen. Couldn't happen. they would never impeach a black president. I mean, look, they got Clinton because he was so stupid as to do fellatio and have sex at the Oval Office. But really, as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. I mean, it may piss you off if you don't like it. It's terrible to the respect afforded to the Oval Office, where they make the plans to bomb and occupy everybody. But we don't want any blowjobs in here, man. That is not acceptable. But anyhow, they're not going to impeach a black president. So get that out of your mind. They just do that. The Republican Party does that shit just to keep you in tow, to keep the stupid idiots and the Christian Zionists and all the numbskulls in tow. They throw you a bone. Yeah, we're going to put a bill up there to impeach Obama. Oh, white people, how low you sank. Sinked. The guy that should have been impeached and tried and convicted of war crimes was George Bush Jr. and his partner. Those are the guys that need tried, impeached, and executed by law. I mean, they're far worse as being humanitarians than Obama. I mean, the amount of people that have died because of old man Bush, the Bush crime family, is just not comparable to anything Obama has done. And I'll probably get people saying, oh, you're soft on the niggas. No, I just know what's going on. And I keep my ear to the ground and I watch and see what's going on. In other words, like the movie says, I know the difference between shit and shinola. I'll see you tomorrow, Saturday. That is the that'll be the 25th tomorrow, and I'll see if I can rant and rave some more and offend some more people and try to cure myself of trying to help people that can't be helped. It's a fatal flaw in my armor.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.
Gene 5.